We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It's one of the most famous speeches in Shakespeare's canon, Henry V's exhortation to his troops before the Battle of Agincourt.
This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall see this day and live old age will yearly, on the vigil, feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin's. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day.
That was Kenneth Branagh in a clip from the St. Crispin's Day speech from his 1989 film of Henry V. The speech goes on to talk about we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. And it's that sense of camaraderie and shared experience in wartime that led Nancy Smith Watson and her husband to start the Feast of Crispian at the Milwaukee Veterans Hospital. Using the characters and lines of Shakespeare, they work with veterans suffering from PTSD and a range of other mental health and reintegration issues. They're about to hold their sixth weekend intensive beginning this Friday evening. Joining Smith Watson in the studio with me is Shep Crumrine, a music therapist on staff at the Milwaukee VA. Welcome both of you to Lake Effect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Feast of Crispian, which is, of course, from Shakespeare's Henry V, but it is in Milwaukee, a really interesting and unique program for veterans. And Nancy, I want to start with you. What is it and what are you trying to accomplish with it?
Feast of Crispian is the organization name of the project, which is Shakespeare. We're doing Shakespeare with veterans. And the idea came up out of a lot of really amazing stuff that was coming out of the education program out at Shakespeare and Company, which is out in Massachusetts. There was a group of professional actors and educators here in town who were looking to do something beneficial to the community out of theater and specifically out of Shakespeare because of the way that it affected us and the way that we were really passionate about Shakespeare. And I came up with the idea based off of actually a public radio show that talked about the intense need for first of all, they were talking about the need for mental health practitioners, but the story culminated in this whole idea that there are so many other kinds of programs that are needed that not all veterans will agree to go into mental health, straight up mental health programs, and that it doesn't always reach everybody in the same kind of way.
The more traditional types of
exactly, therapies. Getting therapy, okay. Getting group okay. therapy or one-on-one therapy. So I brought this to the group of us that were looking to do something and talked with some other professional actors in town, Bill Watson, Jim Tassi, are my other partners in this right now. We're the main facilitators in Feast of Crispian and are the ones that are doing these weekends. And came up with a curriculum, a plan, a form to put it in. And we knew what it could do for young actors and what it had done for us as far as certainly in a therapeutic mode. A lot of people go into all sorts of the arts out of a need for some kind of self-expression and a need to deal with, you know, developmental issues, sometimes trauma. And so we really had high hopes for what it could do. And yet at the same time, we thought, are we crazy? And then what we have found as we went into it was that a lot of people have received it in very much the similar way. We get veterans coming in on Friday night, you know, dragging their heels, not really necessarily wanting to be there. They've been encouraged to come by somebody over at the VA or somebody else. And by the end of Friday night,
so it doesn't even take very long.
It really doesn't.
So what is it about Shakespeare then? What is it about those words that seem so, in some ways, so antiquated to our ears now?
Yeah, well, I could talk a long time. My husband could talk a lot more about this than I could. He really understands the whole realm of what Shakespeare can do. But to shorten it up for what we expect it to do for the veterans that come in over just a weekend period, it's a couple of things. One, it has to work with a whole bunch of people. You have to have other people that are involved in it with you, which we think is really important. It's rigorous. It's something that they have to kind of sweat at a little bit. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do right off the bat. The words are metaphoric. You know, some people come in with the idea that, oh, I don't like Shakespeare because it's poetic. And then we convince them pretty quickly that we all speak in metaphor all the time. So that isn't necessarily anything different, but the largeness of metaphor and the largeness of language is what actually gives them an emotional experience. It's what the metaphor, literally on a brain level, if they've actually done studies where they show that factual language just works as facts in the brain. But when you use metaphoric language, it actually gives you a physical experience of whatever it is that you're talking about. And that's kind of what we're after with that.
And I imagine it would also give them an opportunity to express what they haven't been able to express.
Exactly.
In that huge, big way.
Exactly. It's and that's the other part of it, is that we never ask them to share their personal stories when they come in. What we do is we give them an ability to express the largeness of whatever their personal stories are with the mask of character and this container of the words of Shakespeare. They don't have to use their own words. They don't even have to be themselves necessarily in it. They're playing a character, and that gives them the ability to hide a little bit behind that, and yet at the same time to really release a lot of pent-up emotions and to express themselves. Our main hope, our main goal with that is that they just have the experience of having an emotional feeling. They don't even necessarily have to express it, and we're not looking for great acting. We're just looking for them to get up and have an experience, and we're pretty much finding out that that's what they're telling us is going on.
Well, Shep, I want to bring you in now because you work at the VA and you are a music therapist yourself, but you've been a champion of this program. When Nancy and the group came to you, did they come to you? Were you the one who kind of made this happen at the VA?
Actually, it was, I think Dry Hooch kind of hooked us up. But yeah, there was a handful of staff, but there's three of us really that grabbed onto it. Courtney Zeller's a rec therapist, and Andy Hendrickson's also an Afghan vet nurse that works over there. And we've pretty much been part of it from the beginning. And I mean, the first time we didn't know too much about it. I, as a creative arts therapist, have always recognized the power of creativity, the creative spirit, the creative energy that can be so therapeutic and healing. And so I, you know, had an intuitive sense that we were going to introduce something possibly very powerful. And it, as it turned out, it certainly did. And like Nancy said, after the first Friday night, I was blown away as to how quickly this group of people who really didn't know each other came together as a group and would not have missed the rest of the weekend for anything. I mean, a couple of those guys, you know, we twisted their arm, just come see what it's about. And they had plans to go bowling the next day or on some other outing or take a path. They canceled all that. They were there. 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whenever we started the next morning, it's that powerful.
Did you have any pushback from the VA bureaucracy about this? Because this seems like it's slightly out of the realm of, as we were talking about, the more traditional therapeutic models.
Not really. Feast of Crispian, they're volunteers and they are signed up as official volunteers. So that seemed to be the easiest way to go. And we did get the blessings of the PTSD program director there. She became familiar with it, and a couple of the psychologists who were interested. So, you know, we had that behind us. So really no pushback. And I think, again, we've had music therapy and art therapy there for a number of years. The VA doesn't hire a lot of, I think there's only two drama therapists in the entire system. So it was our chance to sort of bring another aspect of creative arts and healing into our VA.
Well, and this has actually gone out in the internal VA around the country. I mean, people are paying attention to this now. I mean, it started here, but other VAs are looking at this.
Yeah, the national website, it's an in-house online website that the national VA did a story on us a couple of months ago.
It's the Department of Veterans Affairs website, and, you know, there's a link to the VA News. They do a different feature every week, and this was part of the feature 1 week, but it was taped and edited in Milwaukee. So
how long has this been going on?
A little over a year, and we're about to do our sixth weekend intensive this coming weekend.
I assume it's open to any veteran who is interested, or do you have a limit of how many you can accommodate?
We do have a limit of how many we can accommodate, which we haven't had to really deal with yet, luckily, because I don't know how we would say no. It's we keep thinking that we're putting our limit at 14 per intensive. And we haven't yet gone over that, but I don't think that we could say no if, you know, unless we got 25 or something like that, we wouldn't be able to work with that many people. We haven't had to worry about it, but it's open to any veteran at any time, and also we've opened it to their families as well, because part of the idea is that a lot of times veterans come back and the family members don't understand what the changes are that have happened in them through their deployment experiences. And we wanted to make sure that that was open and that they could come and have this experience with their veteran loved one and maybe get more of an open-minded picture of.
So have you had families come? And what's been the response?
We've had families come and observe at the end, and the response has been phenomenal. The very first weekend we had, one of our veterans was going through some really hard times and was in a very low state, and had a cousin come, and her cousin came up to us afterwards and was weeping and was saying, you know, I was seriously concerned. And after watching what she did with this weekend, I feel like she's got herself back. She's got her confidence back. And indeed, she's gone on to do wonderful things since then.
Well, and that's a question is like, what has been the after result of all of this? Because, Shep, you're seeing the veterans. You're working there in the system. Are they having a positive result?
Oh, definitely. I have the advantage of having worked with a number of them in the acute setting. That's, of course, confidential. We don't know that as we're working on the weekend. But to see how people incorporate what they've done in Feast of Crispian into their overall treatment and recovery process, and then how that carries over in ways that some of the other things that they've – I mean, it all works together. But the Feast of Crispian has contributed this neat, unique piece that's enabled them to go a little bit further.
What do you think that is? What do you think it's giving them that other things haven't?
I think Nancy put it really well, to have an experience, to realize that you can experience intensity and survive that and you're okay afterwards. Well, they may not be upfront totally with what the connection is in terms of their military or their combat, but having gone through that experience, that emotional or whatever the experience was, the interpersonal experience, the relationship experience that develops in connection with that, makes it much more possible than later to give articulation to some of those things that are more directly related to, you know, what they're working on in therapy. So,
and we hear that all the time from them. Like I said, we never ask them stories, but the stories come out. And we hear from them and from the staff and from other vets, oh, we've never heard that story come out of that veteran before. That's the first time.
Or they will say, I really haven't ever talked about this in my individual therapy to this point, but you know it's going to be much more possible from that point on.
It's almost like they're able to embody the experience.
Well, that's such a perfect way of putting it because, of course, being the somatic trained therapist in this as well, I'm really, really interested in bringing their bodies into it as well, because one of the ways that we protect ourselves, and one of the things that PTSD does is cuts the body off. It keeps them from being able to have any kind of sensation, not just emotional sensation. And so to talk about embodying it is exactly what we're about, which, you know, like I said, we could go on forever talking about Shakespeare, because there are actually reasons why Shakespeare helps to do that. It works specifically with the breath and with the heartbeat to really get straight into the body on a very tangible level. And really, we're finding out stuff. There's just such cutting-edge research coming out now, too, about the use of rhyme and meter in order to get pieces of the brain talking to themselves again that stop talking to each other during PTSD. Mm-hmm. So there are all sorts of really amazing scientific reasons for why it's working as well. Bill Watson and I have another connection out in New York State, and one of the things that they're talking about too is that they also feel that one of the things that it does is it disrupts the kind of behavioral loop that they get into in certain situations, that it's so different from anything that they've ever done before. It really kind of knocks them off kilter a little bit, so that it gives them an opportunity to imagine doing things differently than they've been doing. Yeah,
there's an emotional cascade that becomes automatic, a fear cascade, and that gets interrupted. You're experiencing similar things, but it's in this different way, and it's all of a sudden it's not the same anymore. And so it doesn't have to be the same anymore. So
that isn't as terrifying, perhaps.
Exactly. Yeah. The pattern gets broken. It starts to cycle differently and open up more possibilities.
So how do veterans find out about this if they don't already know and they want to participate?
Right now, the best thing for them to do is to go to our website, feastofcrispian.org. and they can contact any one of us through that, or they can leave us a message that they want to do it. At this point in time, the only place that we are offering this is in the VA. We are inside the VA, but we have hopes in the future to find a space outside. We're encouraged from some of our outside veterans that there are veterans that don't want to come to the VA. They want to participate in something like this, but they don't want to have to come into the hospital to do it.
And so that's future.
So
that's,
in the future, we're doing that. But right now, we are in the VA, and they can find out about it through our website or
Through the VA as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you're already in the VA system, it's a pretty simple thing to find out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good. And my goodness, best of luck with all of this. And I hope as the program increases, you'll come back and maybe we can get some veterans in to do a little Shakespeare for us.
That would be great. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Nancy and Shep, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Nancy Smith Watson is a professional actress and one of the founders and facilitators of Feast of Crispian. Shep Crumrine is a board-certified music therapist who works for the Acute Mental Health Unit at the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. The next weekend intensive begins Friday evening at the VA. Any veterans or family members interested in participating in the program can find out how on our website, wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks, as always, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to having you join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for listener-supported Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now. Fresh air comes your way next.